Birshus Rosh Yeshiva and Holos Yeshiva, Talmidei Yeshiva, and guests, on behalf of the Dr. Abe Shames Foundation, Chesed Avrom Zev, we welcome you to our annual evening of inspiration and chizuk. With the help of many individuals, a tremendous amount of chesed has been going on and continues to go on a regular basis. As an example, through the efforts of many people, over $100,000 was raised and distributed this past Pesach to families in South Florida. You can imagine the difference that makes in the Pesach Seder and the Pesach Yontif for many families. So the chesed continues in the schus of Dr. Abe Shames. For someone who may have moved into the North Miami Beach community the last few years, it may be hard for them to imagine that it did not always look this way. The vibrant and Torah-dic community that we have is the result of very hard, diligent work, particularly a few individuals. Rabbi Yaakov Sprung is one of those individuals, one of the founding Rabbonim of the result that we see now. I remember when my family and I first moved in 30 years ago, and Rabbi Sprung was the Rav at Shari Tefillah. And we would hear his words of inspiration then vibrate through the community. So what we see now walking through the streets is a result, to a large degree, of Rabbi Sprung's efforts. When you get a chance, please see him afterwards and give him a yeshar koach for all the work that was done. Rabbi Sprung continued his Avodas HaKodesh after North Miami Beach to West Orange, New Jersey, and from there to Australia, and now back continuing his Avodas HaKodesh in the Hollywood area. So with your permission, I'd like to invite Rabbi Yaakov Sprung to share some words of inspiration.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Yachnis. Shiz Rosh Yeshiva, Johnny Chames, is Johnny here yet? Johnny? The Greater Miami Kehillah. I should begin by telling you that it's really a twofold pleasure for me to stand here this evening before you. Firstly, because in preparation for this lecture this evening, I read the materials, various materials presented to me describing Rabbi Avraham Ze'ev Ben Yaakov, Olav HaShalom, Dr. Abraham, Dr. Abe Chames, of blessed memory. And I need to tell you that even though I never knew him personally, I was more than rather overwhelmed by the sweeping impact, the boundless energy, the munificence, the global sweetness that he had, which he used to touch the lives of so many, including, obviously, closest to home here, Torah Semes and Torah Chaim, the high school which bears his name. But secondly, it's a pleasure being here with you this evening because during my 16 wonderful years that my Rebbetzin, that Nami and I were in this community, and indeed, it was a different community. It was one that was first evolving. It required tremendous foundations, tremendous input, infrastructure. We had the skus of being part and parcel of that. And several of our children had the good fortune to attend this Mosar HaTorah and absorb its teachings, the Musar HaChaim presented by its staff, the sweetness presented by all those with whom they came into contact. So with this in mind, I'd like to turn your attention to the topic for this evening that I have chosen, namely the topic of tshuva with joy. Now, to begin with, I believe that most people will never couple these words together, tshuva and joy. If you ask a person, what does tshuva mean? So a person would tell you, well, let's see, number one, tshuva requires individual introspection, coming to grips with oneself, engaging in a rather global, a very wide net spreading of search within one's mind, within one's heart, regarding one's actions during the course of the past year or one's inactions during the past of the course year. And then feeling remorse, feeling bad about it. What the Gemara and what the Rambam refers to as charata. And then charata gives way to a vidui, to our articulation before Hashem Yisbarach of confessing in what way one has sinned. And then there has to be a discernible decision on the part of he who has sinned to be makabel ala osa lava, to accept upon the future that he's no longer going to engage whatever he had presently done. Azivas hacheit, removing himself, distancing himself from the chait, from the sin itself, with a pledge of change articulated before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But however one would define tshuva, personally I would never couple it with the terminology of joy. And yet, I suggest that there certainly is a very critical connection between the two, in both the precipitation of the need for tshuva and a vehicle for tshuva itself. Now, this is my first time here, in this magnificent edifice of Torah. And I don't know where the Rambams are. I don't need one for now. But those who are here now can take upon themselves to look in afterwards. If you open up the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin, Halacha Zayin, you will see the Rambam states as follows. In speaking of the grandeur of tshuva, Kama ma'ula malasa tshuva, how great is the impact, is the achievement of repentance. For indeed, repentance serves as a life transformer. Emesh, just yesterday, Hayazem Muvda Mayashem, the person who engaged in sin, which refers to all of us. Shlomo HaMelech said, there's no person who graced the face of the earth without sin. Emesh Muvdal Hayazeh, the person was so far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so disconnected from God, in fact, that in one's deepest, in one's darkest hour, in one's greatest hour of solitude, when one turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzoeik Ve'eino Nene, and he cries out already to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he goes unanswered. It doesn't mean that he doesn't receive the answer that he wishes to receive. It means that he doesn't even receive an answer of no. There's such a chasm between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there's no connection. So great is that distance in which he finds HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, to be non-communicative. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't even talk to him. And yet, continues the Rambam, V'hayom, and now that he is engaged in tshuva, whom mudbak b'shechina, now he is clinging to Hashem Yisbarach, inseparable. V'yosa mitzvos, so now when he performs the mitzvos on behalf of Hashem Yisbarach, u'makablin osan benachas uvesimcha, u'makablin osan benachas uvesimcha, he is accepted back into the embrace of Hashem Yisbarach with pride and besimcha and with joy. This is not simply a description of a relationship that is back on track, but I believe it's a relationship of happiness and inner glee in which one can feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu smiling at him with pride. Where do we find this element, this ingredient of simcha, that it need be stated by the Rambam that this is in fact the ultimate accomplishment of a Shav al Hashem, of one who is returning to Hashem Yisbarach? Where do you find the notion of simcha? Anybody want to venture a guess? Okay, then I'll tell you. I believe that it is snuck into the list of all the telltale signs of being distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In explaining the determined order of the sedros that we lay in at different parts of the year, the Gemara in Tainus, Lamed Aleph tells us that Ezra was masak and enacted the reading of the Tokacha, or the rebuke of, specifically the sedra of Kisavo, to be laid prior to the Yomim Noroim, in order that what? Tich leshon v'kilo aseha. In order that the year and all of its curses, in order that the year and all the things that we kind of felt being ourselves being punished by the Ribbono Shel Olam should come to an end. Let the year come to an end and let a new beginning awaken the dawn. That any sufferings experienced throughout the year that were mirrored in the frightening psukim of the Tokacha, which describe fear and famine, persecution, sickness, death, exile, and the utter distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu all should come to an end before Rosh Hashanah. It's certainly a positive wish. Most of the young men sitting here this evening, I dare say, are probably too young to remember, but your Rabbeim and your Rosh Yeshiva will remember as I do. This time of year, before email, let alone before text messaging, there were Rosh Hashanah cards that you received in the mail. Rosh Hashanah cards. It's a big business. And on some were inscribed these exact words. Tich l'shanah k'lo'seha, k'lo'seha, tachal shanah b'rchoseha. Certainly a positive wish. But I believe that the Gemara is telling us something else. Namely, it's to focus our attention on the reason that tshuva is required, on the reason for our estrangement from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is found in a pasuk in the Tochacha itself, which states, Uvo alecha kol hakol ha'eila, and all of these curses shall be visited upon you. Why? Tachas ha'shelo avarata es Hashem elokecha b'simcha. Because you failed to serve Hashem Yisparach with a serenity of heart, with a feeling of joy, with a feeling of ecstasy, with an abundance of all of His blessings. Because we didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with joy and delight. It doesn't say because we didn't serve Him. Tachas asher lo avadata, es Hashem Elokecha. It says, Tachas asher lo avadata, es Hashem Elokecha, besimcha. Because we find ourselves historically separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah is telling us, because of the manner in which the service that we performed was rendered. Dry, insipid in spirit, rather lifeless. And the road back, therefore, need be one of tshuva producing a sense of nachas and simcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in kibonim, in kavodim. If we're the bonim, then He's the tata, then He's the father. What does a parent want from children more than anything else in the world? Tell me, the Bachrim, what do your parents want from you more than anything else in the world? Nachas, exactly. Yiddish nachas. Besimcha. A tshuva produces nachas and simcha to Hashem Yisbarach. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu only rejoices when He sees us smiling, no less. So do you know why tshuva, I believe, is so difficult? Do you know why Elul is so rather jarring? Do you know why Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippurim is so unsettling a time? It's not because of all the davening. It's not because of the challah and honey. And it's not simply because we come before the Melech Malchei Amlochim to coronate Him. Tamlinuli Melech. Tamlichuni Melech. It's not because we come before the Bari Olam as a Melech HaMishpat who is sinning in judgment. And it's not simply because we are charged to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very real personal way. But rather, when everything lies in the balance, Ben Kesel La'asar, tshuva is endlessly daunting because though we know that it is needed, and we know that it is required of us, and we know that it is the correct thing to do, but it simply isn't easy to perform with a feeling of simcha. There's no fun in tshuva. Not in the way that we're typically used to fun. It doesn't present us with anything that is physically beneficial or easily identifiable as being enjoying in nature. Says Rav Shlomo Volba in the Sefer Mamore Yemei HaRatzim, Tinok, a baby, mamish, literally miyom hivoldo, from the day that he is born, what does a baby want? Rotze lehanos, he wants to benefit. He wants to benefit. Freud didn't discover this. The Medrash Hanechon elsewhere tells us, anyone shall ever mention to you, Yom Malacha, Yesh Chochma Bagoyim. You have to believe it. There's much wisdom to be found amongst the nations of the world. Torah? Not so. But even the Chochma that is to be found within the nations of the world generally is directly traceable to the Torah itself. Tinok Mamish Miyom Hivaldo Rotzeli Honos. A baby from the day that he is born wishes, has a desire for physical pleasure from infancy. However, as we grow older and we begin to develop, the desires for the benefit change. However, the prime mover, if you will, that which energizes an individual, the engine that drives us forth and forward, is towards pleasure. For a baby, it's a clean, dry diaper. It's a mother's embrace coupled with nourishment. For a toddler, it's candy and toys. For adolescents, I'm not sure. I guess nowadays, higher tech devices. And for adults, acquisitions and status. All of us age and the pleasures change. But the reality of enjoying and desiring things that serve as the engines of our strivings and goals, that remains constant. And because of this, our avodas Hashem, our service of Hashem Yisbarach, and the manner in which it is performed, our mitzvahs and our averos, our success in doing the ratzon abore, and our need for tshuva in its violation, are greatly, greatly challenged. In describing the person whose gravitational pull is towards the ever satisfaction of his bodily desires, Rabbeinu Yonah in Shara Tshuva, the Shar Beis, states that even after death, Nebuch, you know, all of us think, once we're gone, after one passes away, it's Kula Lashem. Even after death, a person whose ever satisfaction was met by bodily desires, that individual's neshama will yet yearn in the Olam HaEmes for physical enjoyment, while painfully exposed to the far greater delight of spiritual fulfillment. Said Rav Eliyahu Lopian and his Lev Eliyahu, whom is Rabbeinu Yonah referring to? He's not referring to people who live their lives bereft of any connection to Torah, Judaism, and its observance. Rabbeinu Yonah is referring rather to people, to a person who is mispalel gimel pa'amim b'yom, who davens shachris and mincha and mariv, hopefully even with a minyan. Umevarech al kol davar atzorech bracha ba'achil shesia. And he is careful and she is careful to recite the bracha rishona, the bracha preceding what one eats, the bracha achrona following what one eats. V'hariyu oved es Hashem. And we're talking about a person who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elo, however, shekol avodas Hashem etzlo, but all of his service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is below taiva, is without a sense of yearning, without a sense of lust. Kol madabor avid, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created has its place to be used in positive fashion. When it comes to mitzvahs Hashem, we're supposed to engage, we're supposed to have a taiva, a lust to engage in mitzvahs Hashem. But such individuals, explained Rabbeinu Yonah, rak mitzvahs anoshim ulamada, in a fashion, in a nature, and a lifestyle and a commitment that is dry, that is unenergized, that lacks the spark, that lacks the drive of one who truly desires to be misnabik with a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, he performs his mitzvot with the same interest and joy as a small child. Now, some of you have younger siblings, no doubt. A small child will perform a mitzvah and then turn to his mother and say, "Okay, mommy, now can I go play? I made a bracha, I cleaned my room. I did this, I did that. Now could I go play?" So we go to davening to get it out of the way, so we don't get in trouble with the mashgiach ruchani. Or we learn to tick the box of learning. Or we help another so that I can pat myself on the back, thinking that I'm going to look forward to a star placed on the refrigerator door, proverbially. In a word, Rabbeinu Yonah is referring to the largest portion of the greatest part and parcel community of Orthodoxy. He's referring to all of us, I humbly suggest, to the degree that we will honestly apply its lesson to our own selves. Tshuva is so difficult not because we don't want to do it, and certainly not because it's impossible. Tshuva is difficult because it needs to change us. We need change. That's what tshuva means. And the only change that we readily embrace is a change that is enjoyable. So what is the answer? To begin with, I believe we have to count our brachos, we have to count our blessings more readily. We have to recognize the benefits that accrue from our performance of mitzvot and appreciate the opportunities that we are presented with. So, for example, in Torah, in Limud HaTorah, we have to realize that the study of Torah not only ennobles, not only informs, not only refreshes, not only inspires, but it gladdens the heart. B'kudei Hashem Yishorim Esam Chelev. It gladdens the heart. It fuels the mind. It warms the soul. And perhaps I need add even more importantly, it gives us a direction that one could be proud of. I mean, if you read the news, in whatever medium you choose, you know, when I was growing up, we were away for 10 years in Melbourne, Australia. When I was growing up in the United States of America, the presidential elections of the most formidable country in the world was a very serious thing for the people of this country, of our wonderful country, for Eretz Yisrael, which relies heavily upon the United States in so many ways, and for the entire world. And one had to sharpen one's pencils to discern who would be the better candidate. Now there are no pencils to be sharpened. It's not a question as to who will be the better candidate. The question is, who will do least harm in the office of the President of the United States of America? You read the news from Eretz Yisrael. I'm not talking about the pigoim. I'm not talking about the drive-by killings, lo aleinu. I'm talking about the news that one reads of Achenu Kobeis Yisrael, of people whom we would otherwise identify with in so far as Shmiras HaMitzvos. But if you read what goes on in Eretz Yisrael, between one part of Klal Yisrael and another part of Klal Yisrael, it's geferlach. And it means that the Torah that is being learned and the Torah that is being studied and the Torah that is being taught, Svelteppes, there's something missing. There's a missing of the Simchas HaChayim. There's a missing of the joy of life, appreciating what life is, appreciating people. Appreciating what it means to be a member of Klal Yisrael. The Medrash Koheles Rabba tells of a non-Jew passing Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, noting his face and commenting that he either had just finished off a great single malt, really the Medrash says shosei chamar, it really means wine, or he had made a great financial killing in the market, moizet beribisa, really was referring to interest, or he was megadel chazeirim, or he was raising pigs, which was always a rather easy vocation, requiring little effort with a great return. So if Yehuda Rabbi Loi heard what he said, and he turned to him and he said, what are you talking about? He said, all three things are false. And effectively either prohibited for a practicing Jew, namely the charging of interest, ribis, or the raising of pigs, or unbefitting for a Jew, namely significant drinking. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi's Dalit Kosas of Pesach used to give him a tremendous headache from Pesach all the way to Shavuos. So why am I smiling, explained Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi? I raisi hidiman hara apoy. Because my study of Torah, it's not shayach for me to study Torah without there being a shmecha, without there being a smile on my face. I can't. How could you open up a Gemara? How could you walk into a base medrash, let alone a base medrash such as this, which is so gorgeous? How could you walk into a base medrash or open a sefer at home? I learned a piece of Gemara without smiling. How's it shayach? Even if it's stuck for coin. Yeah. It's just not shaykh. For those of you holding in the daf. How could you open up a chumash and look at a Rashi that you had learned years ago and being Mavre Sedra again, look at it and realize, oh my gosh, I never realized I didn't chap the last time I was Mavre Sedra last year. I was older than 2 years ago and older than three. And I didn't really understand and fully appreciate what Rashi was telling me. An insight into parts of Shavuot on a higher level than 8th grade or 12th grade. We need to feel the Simcha in our learning. And if we need to feel it in Talmud Torah, we need to feel it in as well, our avoda and gemilas chasodim. In our avoda, in our davening, in our tefillah, a bar mitzvah boy puts on his tefillin, takes him a while. First of all, he says the hakdama, says the parshios. He's wrapping it around, and it doesn't go on, he's not getting straight, and they touch, so he has to separate them, and it's not broken in. It's like play baseball. People still play baseball? I don't know. When I was a kid and played baseball, you know, mitt, you had to break in the mitt. So you oil it, you have to break it in. So tefillin, we also break in lahavdil as we wrap it around ourselves. As we get older, it goes much quicker. But the feeling isn't as elating, isn't as inspiring and elevating as when we were b'nei mitzvah. Because it wasn't new, it wasn't fresh, it wasn't shiny. The simcha isn't the same. But as we get older and we go through life and we see more experiences in life and we have more daigas, more concerns, more responsibilities, and we get to put on our tefillin in the morning, we say to ourselves, oh my gosh, look at this. I wrap myself in the tefillin and I turn to Ribbono Shel Olam and I say, Veirastachli Le'olam. We've got an eternal engagement. One that can never be broken. That's a havtocha from the Borei Olam. That's a promise from the Almighty. And I'm granted another opportunity to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he listens. And he listens to me with a promise, with the assuredness that he listens to me. What a bracha, what a simcha, what a cause for elation. One wraps himself in a talis and feels enwrapped within the kanfei Ashkina, within the embrace of Hashem Yisparach. To stand Shmona Esrei in a shul on either side of the mechitza, men or women, or to stand it even at home and know that a Kodesh Baruch Hu cares enough about us to grant us an audience. I mean, could there be a greater simcha than that? I told over a story, Shabbos Shuva, of a very special yid in Israel who in 1979 formed an organization called Ezer Mitzion. Chai Yisrael has such variegated needs. So he decided to form an organization that would minister to almost every need imaginable. Medical equipment, hospitalization, transportation to hospitals, babysitters for children whose parents, lo aleinu, are in the hospital or need medical care. You name it, he catered to it. And one day he brought a huge nadvan, a very well-to-do fellow from Belgium. And he brought him over. Oh, he was davening by the kosel. And as he was standing there, they noticed a little yidola who was crying out his heart endlessly. And they both noticed this yid. So after the person standing by the kosel stopped davening and started to wipe his tears away, they ran over to him. And this fellow who started the organization said, listen, Rabbi Yid, I don't know you don't know me, but I want you to know I can help you. I don't know what your problems are, but we pretty much cater to everything. We're geared up. We can do everything. Tell us how we can help you. He turns to him and says, what makes you think I need help? Because you're crying so. The fellow turns to them and says, I'm crying to Ribbono Shel Olam tears of joy because I just was zeicha to marry off my youngest child. You know, we cry sometimes when we're in pain. And we cry sometimes because we're so welled up with emotions, we can't express ourselves in words, so we cry. So it comes out of our eyes, straight from our heart. Besimcha. How could we daven on the Yom Tov of Sukkos with a lulav and esrog and not feel kol atzmos le'tomarna to sway with a lulav and esrog in the different directions? How can you light Shabbos candles without feeling the serenity, awash oneself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ushering in the Shabbos when everything comes to a halt and finally all of the craziness of the previous week comes to a thunderous conclusion with a little menuchas hanefesh? How can you answer Yehi Shmei Rabba in the Beis Medrash without a feeling of simcha? And lastly, in the area of Gemilas Chasodim, not simply Torah and Avodah of Tefillah, but Gemilas Chasodim, to not simply interact positively with others, but to positively interact with others in order to make their lives a happier lot. And no one evidently mastered this as did Dr. James Oliver Shalom. Carpools that were mini outings with snacks and music, even at times all the way to Disney. Boy, to be young again. Medical equipment delivered without charge. I know this personally. Or designed for those in need of medical equipment that couldn't be furnished by those furnishing them. Funding of yeshivas, so rabbeim and staff could be paid on time. Trips to Disney for Klei Kodesh who couldn't otherwise afford it. Monies distributed Yom Tov time for Yom Tov clothing, as Rabbi Yachmas referred to. Replaced tools for a gardener who was burglarized. Barbecues for the whole community on the last day of Yom Tov. Hugs and kisses for his son's friends, or a fatherly shoulder, or a big brother's shoulder. Or personal family simchas, where every guest was made to feel that he or she was a center of attraction, even though it wasn't their simcha. And all assisted so beautifully by his wife, Tibbad al-Lachayim, in his efforts, in his simcha sachayim, and continue through his children. I can assure you, at least with one of them, because I sit next to Johnny, the base medrash of Eishet Torah, on a daily basis, and he's a lev mali simcha. For anyone who knows him, states the Tanit Ve'Eliyahu Rabba, Odom Adavid HaMelech Olav HaShalom, with all the Tehillim that you can go through and say it on a daily basis, Odom Adavid HaMelech Olav HaShalom, Ani Yoresi Mitoch Simchasi V'Samachti Mitoch Yirasi. David HaMelech explained, sometimes Simcha can actually evolve and devolve from a sense of fabulous yirah. Sometimes I am in such dread of the Borei Olam that I feel so distant. And I feel that he has said no to everything that I am mevakish from him. And I feel that I've been punished so. And yet from this can come simcha. What did David HaMelech say? Shivtecha mishantecha hema yinachamuni. So in English, they commonly translate it as your rod and your scepter. They comfort me. And everybody says this, and everybody hears those words. Nebuch in times of Leviathan. What in the world does that mean? Your rod and your scepter, they comfort me. So for too many years, I always believed it meant a stick to rely upon. If you need help walking, a crutch, a system of support. So I once heard from a Talmud of Rav Rudiman Zichat Tzadik Levracha, Rav Nachman Klein, Olav HaShalom, huge Talmud Chacham. He said, what David HaMelech was saying was, sometimes, Shivtecha Mishantecha, the rod and the scepter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's used for striking out and that's used for petching, is the very point of origin of a feeling of simcha on the part of the recipient, because he knows that Ribbono Shel Olam cares. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't care about him, he wouldn't be using the rod, he wouldn't be using the scepter. I remember my late father-in-law, the Rosh Yeshiva Zichat Tzadik Levracha, of Yaakov Weinberg Zatzal, once told me that when he was a little child, he was spending time in the home of a brother much, 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 much older than he, who had children older than he. The children were running around in this one-bedroom apartment in Meir Shearim. And children will be children, and they stepped out of line, whatever, and they were punished. They were smacked. And his older brother noticed that his younger brother, Yaakov, from Yaakov, was crying. So he didn't understand it. He turned to him and said, I didn't pet you. Why are you crying? He said, because you don't love me. You don't love me. What do you mean I don't love you? I love you so much. What do you mean I don't love you? He said, no, you only love them because you petch them. You punish them. If you love me, you would punish me as well. V'samachti mitoch yirasi. So machti mitoch yerasi. And at other times, David HaMelech said, ani yoresi mitoch simchasi. That indeed, sometimes we feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so far, and he's so upset at us, and he's so disillusioned with us, that maybe he's even given up on us. And we feel that no matter what we do, we can't achieve a greater proximity. But if we recreate within ourselves a feeling of simcha, then there's so much yira, there's so much reverence that can yet be achieved. I told a story, Shabbos Shuv Anesha Torah, that in 1945, after the close of the war, it was the first Shabbos after the liberation of Jews from the torment and the torture of the concentration camps. And everyone was farmed out to the various DP camps, the displaced persons camps. And in the Feldafing camp that is located near Munich, the Klausenberger Rebbe, Rabbi Yugasiel Yehuda Halberstam, Sivani Levracha, was going through the camp and he was going to the people, Mengate, fearing Shabbos, we're preparing for Shabbos, let's get ready, let's get ready. And people looked at him as if he was so foolish. Really? Really? After all these years of being abandoned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? After losing everything that we had? Parents and Zaydis and Babis and spouses and children and Einuklach and Mekayim Shel Torah. We're going to make Shabbos? The Rebbe himself had lost his wife and 10 children. His 11th child perished later in that DP camp. And so many thought that if he could still feel an affinity towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the chasm that existed, so be it. But it certainly wasn't for them. They were too angry. Understandably. It's not ours to judge. They were too embittered, understandably, to even think about keeping a Shabbos or performing mitzvahs. So Rebbe saw that there wasn't much interest in the Shabbos experience, so he said, we're going to have hot food. I put up a challenge. I found some potatoes. I found some beans. We're going to have hot food for the first time. And 10 minutes before Shabbos, an irate Yidola, who was obviously overwhelmed and not functioning properly, took a dead cat and put it into the challen pot and trafed up the entire challen. So hearing about it, you can imagine the Rebbe was so despondent, with an annoying feeling of emptiness. But nonetheless, he continued to prepare for Shabbos Kodesh, and he told the people they were going to have a davening, and then it was going to be a seuda for Leil Shabbos Kodesh. So it came to the davening, and needless to say, barely a minion came to daven. But the Rebbe was sure that more people would show for the food, and he was right. About 50 people came to the table as the Rebbe began Shalom Aleichem. And as he welcomed the angels, Malachi Yasharis, he burst into tears, thinking about the past years where on a daily basis, how many times a day, unfortunately, were they confronting the Malach HaMoves. And here they were finally welcoming the Malachi Ashares. Two or three people meekly joined him in Shalom Aleichem while the others stood around him, the men, heads uncovered and unmoved by the experience at hand. The Rebbe cried again as he sang Seiskam LeShalom, and he bade farewell to the angels of peace. And then the Rebbe began a tefillah that some of you may recite. Mestamer, if you do, it's your father's. Ribon Kol Olamim. It's in the Siddur. If you've never looked inside, look at it, please. Master of the world. And when he came to the part that says, Adon Kol Neshamos, Lord of all the souls, he was beside himself with grief, the torrent of anguish for the countless lost souls during what would later be termed the Holocaust came pouring forth. He had seen death of thousands. Melech Baruch. Blessed are you, Hashem Yisborach. Melech Poydo Amatzel. Blessed is God who redeems and rescues. Maida Ani, I am so grateful to you. Akol HaChesed Asher Sisa Imodi, for all the kindness that you have done with me and that you will ultimately do with me. Some people were wiping the tears away from their eyes. How is it possible for a person who suffered so much to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his kindness? His belief and his faith were incomprehensible. And then the Rebbe's wailing reached a crescendo as he sang the words, Ki yedlakti nerosai, I have kindled my lights, Chavit Shabbos Kodesh, Vitzati mitasin, I've made the bed proper. Shouldn't be disheveled. I've made the bed proper for Shabbos Kodesh. Ki yedlakti nerosai, Vitzati mitasi. And then he lifted his hands up to the Ribono Shel Olam. And he interrupted himself and he began speaking in Yiddish in a lilting tune saying, Heilige Bashefer, says, Holy Creator, Ich sag verkehrt. You'll be meichel me, I'm going to switch things around. Instead of hidlakti neroisei, I have kindled my candles, itzati mitosi, I have made my bed. Hidlakta mitosi, you have burnt my bed. My wife, 12 children, what is a mitasa adam if not for his family? Hidlakta mitosi. And nonetheless, itzati neroisei, I have prepared candles. Because Heilige Bashefer, I believe in you, and I believe in your ways. He was crying so hard that he could hardly continue. He repeated his words again and again. Hidlakta mitosi, hitzati nereisai. Well, you could well imagine that by now almost everyone in the room was crying, and the men who were standing there were tearing pieces of the tablecloth that was on the Shabbos Kodesh table and putting it on their heads. To the point that there was hardly anything left of the tablecloth itself. There was such a chasm that existed understandably between Klal Yisrael and Hashem Yisparach in the hours of the Shoah. And no doubt there was such a feeling of bereftness within the heart and the neshama of the Klausenberger Rav. He didn't need any lessons in Yira. But he somehow was able to reach inside himself into the depths of his soul and with a sense of determination create a feeling of simcha through which he can not only feel himself close to Hashem Yisparach again, but he could go on to rebuild a family in a personal vein, a community in Union City, New Jersey. And then in Kiryat Sanz, Laniado Hospital, if any of you have heard about it, that was his hospital. Created a whole new island. Because as David HaMelech says, Ani yoreisi mitoch simchosi, v'samachti mitoch yorosi. As we stand on the cusp, mamish, it's Erev Yom Kippur. Tonight, it's showing Erev Yom Kippur. As we stand on the cusp of Yom Kippurim, when Shuv is the order of the day, we need to remind ourselves, it's not simply a Ziva Sachet, it's not simply an accounting, a spiritual accounting, it's not simply a sense of Harata remorse, it's not simply a Kabbalah La'asid, it's not simply clapping a Chet and engaging in Vidui. It's an acceptance upon ourselves to engage in the things that we do, to engage in the things that we have the luxury and good fortune of being able to do. And to do it with a sense of simcha. To do it with a full heart. And a heart of joy. Of joy! Returning to Ribbono Shel Olam. Saying to him, give us another year. Give us another year. I will show you. In our learning. In our davening. In our gemilas chasodim. In the way that we treat each other. In the cover that we have. For our spouses, for our parents, for our kindlech, for our rabbeim, in the love, the unbridled and unmitigated love that we have for every member of Klal Yisrael, be he or she a shomer Torah mitzvahs or not, to try to be makar of them and to show them how beautiful is our legacy, how rich and how supreme and how wonderful is our nachala, is our inheritance. And when we do that, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu indeed will look at us and will say, Emesh, yesterday you were far. Today you're so near, you sit next to me, as it were. Today I accept all of your mitzvahs, benachas of the simcha. And we should be zeichet haka to take this magnificent base medrash and next year put it in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. To be able to be even closer to him with all of us, with the chasima, for a good gebench jor.